This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Cedarside. Cedarside's original 100% organic insect spray kills bed bugs, mosquitoes, fleas, ticks, mites, scorpions, roaches, and more, but is completely safe for your home, pets, and family. Go to cedarside.com, use coupon code Hoffman at checkout for free shipping, or call 800-842-1464 and mention you heard it here. Welcome back to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Our guest today is Dr. Lise Alschuler. She's a frequent contributor to Intelligent Medicine because she has so much to say about our natural approach to cancer and other things. Her expertise is not just restricted to cancer, but she is a FABNO. She's an ND, FABNO. I'm not sure what that means. That's some nice initials that you have after your name in terms of credentials. What's a FABNO?
Well, as I like to say, it's fabulous, no?
It is fab to be a FABNO, yes.
Yes, no. Actually, it stands for Fellow of the American Board of Naturopathic Oncology. So okay. This is actually the first clinically recognized specialty within naturopathic medicine.
Great.
Board certified.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, what that speaks to, I think that really speaks to a high level of evolution of the field of naturopathic medicine. Because I spoke the other day to a guy who's an old timer. He's a naturopath, and he's what's called a traditional naturopath. And he did not mm-hmm. go to one of these, the now accredited, very well organized mm-hmm. naturopathic colleges. Like first there was Bastyr, then there's National College in Portland. There's one in Bridge. Connecticut, and there's one in Arizona, and these are now turning out really excellent, well scientifically trained naturopaths who have earned the credential of ND. But now, even within naturopathy, there's a tendency to go to sort of emulate conventional medicine with advanced training in subspecialties, such as you've pioneered in oncology.
Yeah. You know, and I think the reason for that is twofold. Number one, with the internet that we were talking about before, there's just such a blossoming of information. So the ability to go in depth, and I would argue the responsibility to go in depth, particularly with serious, complicated diseases, is becoming more and more challenging for the generalist. I believe fully that there's a very important role for the generalist, for the family practitioner, and at the same time for certain conditions. I think that having specialists really gives a certain level of complexity to the understanding and therefore management of these conditions. So cancer being a great example of that, our profession has recognized that, you know, it doesn't mean general naturopathic doctors can't have cancer patients in their practice. Of course they can, but at the same time, when people are going through, you know, these conventional treatments and they have very specific issues related to that, or there's certain nuances specific to their cancer or the cancer's, you know, genetics and all of this, that it requires a lot of time and focus in that area. So really the specialization is, I think, in many ways in response to the increased knowledge base. And even from the natural perspective, I'm not even speaking of, you know, necessarily the conventional management, but just even from a natural management perspective, you know, the amount of information we have available to us now is just tremendous.
So now there are, you can, I've talked to naturopathic pediatric specialists. What are some of the other specialties within naturopathic medicine?
So emerging are some gastroenterology specialists, yes, pediatric specialists. There is an endocrinology.
Dr. Seebecker is a naturopath at Portland, and she's just outstanding as an interviewee on the subject of small intestine bowel overgrowth, SIBO. And,
yes.
You know, I was very impressed with her expertise and very much on the level of a conventional medical gastroenterologist.
Absolutely, yep. And then endocrinology is another emerging specialty, which I think is fantastic because there's, again, such a depth available to us now as natural practitioners. There's always actually been an obstetrics type of specialty within naturopathic medicine that as separate certification, but I would kind of put that in the same category of specialization. And I think that that's kind of the ones that are furthest along at this point.
Right. But my fair state of New York has not seen fit to acknowledge the credentials of naturopaths.
I know. I just, you know, it's frankly, from a logic standpoint, inconceivable. It just makes no sense from a public health and safety perspective. It makes no sense for New York in terms of being able to offer their residents, you know, the best care in the fullest extent and along that whole continuum. It makes no sense from a business perspective. But, you know, when you take the logic out and you start thinking about political interests yep. and lobbying and money, then it yep. starts to, the story becomes clear.
Yes, exactly. You know, one of the biggest, most powerful lobbies in Albany, the capital of New York, is the MSSNY. The Medical Society of the State of New York. It's a huge lobby with, you know, literally dozens of lobbyists working at their behest. Because there's a lot of doctors in New York, they pay dues to the Medical Society. And, you know, it's a trade organization, and trade organizations like to defend their turf. And from a business standpoint, doctors fear, I think, the competition from another health profession in New York. It doesn't make sense from my standpoint because I like to work hand in hand with naturopaths. However, that's the way it stands
yeah.
in New York.
Yeah, that's such an old school model, that sort of king of the mountain model and wanting to own the mountain. But in reality, you know, I, as a naturopathic oncologist, refer more people into conventional care.
Yep.
You know, because a lot of people come to me thinking I'm going to offer them and support them in a quest for alternative treatment, whereas in most cases I'm actually advocating for a combined approach
right.
to their
you,
care.
You actually support and help the medical establishment, because you might actually see maybe somewhat naturally oriented, a little fringy kinds of patients who, you know, mm-hmm. might ask you for, you know, what, you know, is wheatgrass a cure for leukemia? You know,
right.
so, well, you know, let me disabuse you of that, and here's some natural support for that. But, hey, you know, there are some plausible conventional treatments, and maybe, just maybe, you ought to visit a conventional oncologist.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, all right. So to move right along, you also are the developer of a line of products called the ProThrivers products. That's the theme. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. So, again, with my business partner, Carolyn Gazella, and our work with Five to Thrive, we heard over and over from survivors that, you know, once they kind of got through treatment, it was difficult for them to find a kind of condensed way to support their continued health. And in my own practice, I certainly found that to be true as well, because there are very unique nutritional needs. There are very unique issues that survivors have.
So you actually like the word thrivers better than survivors, right?
I do, because I think that, you know, surviving, actually there's a lot of definitions of when survivorship starts, but the most commonly held definition now is survivorship actually starts the minute you're diagnosed, that, you know, every yep. day you've survived your diagnosis, which right. is great and certainly something to be applauded. But really the opportunity, I think, is to transform mere survivorship into thriving. Cancer represents a unique opportunity to do that, because there's something about the diagnosis of cancer that really causes people to pause, to reevaluate what's important to them, how they want to live the rest of their life, and it inserts in them a deeper desire to achieve more optimal wellness. So
right.
really to transform into thrivership. So absolutely, I think that's the goal.
Some of the most moving statements I've heard are from people who are diagnosed with cancer and actually end up saying, and this sounds absurd to someone who's not been there, the best thing that ever happened to me is that I developed cancer. And
right.
not just from the standpoint of that they transformed their health, but they transformed their whole attitude towards living around that. Because most of us live as if we're immortal. And it changes your perspective when you're hit with a life-threatening situation.
Right.
And it can make for profound health changes, but also emotional and spiritual changes.
Right. Exactly. So with that in mind, you know, I was faced with the thrivers in my, well, maybe the survivors in my practice, wanting to convert them into being thrivers. And yet I was not finding the tools that I needed to do that most effectively. So in partnership with Integrative Therapeutics, I developed a line of products that's specifically geared towards cancer survivors, and of course they can be applied to others, but the design of this product set is to meet the specific needs of survivors. Just to outline the products that are in there, we have a multivitamin, and the reason for that is that there are very unique nutritional contraindications for cancer survivors, and I can talk about those.
Yeah, I want you to talk about those, because that's real controversial.
Okay. Yeah. We also have a flavonoid complex, which is my favorite, actually, and that's based on some very compelling research about the health benefits of flavonoids and even the cancer risk reduction potential of flavonoids. And then there are three products that address very specific sequelae of both the disease and the treatment that cancer people with cancer go through. We have a brain formula that addresses chemo brain. We have a sleep formula that addresses the rather prevalent insomnia. And then we have an energy formula that addresses the most common adverse effect of people who emerge through treatment, which is fatigue. So right. that's our set.
Okay. So I want to hear your views. You have a multi, okay? So mm-hmm. people are going to go, big deal, multi. You know, I can go to, you know, health food store, there's a million choices. I can take a one a day. I can take a, you know, whatever. Are there specific considerations for cancer survivors? I mean, we've actually, you know, under the a little bit of a cloud of suspicion and concern are some of the B vitamins, which I've always felt, you know, could have some perhaps cancer preventive effects, but also, you know, they are growth factors. So what's your take on that?
Yeah, so I'll take that off to start and then kind of go into some of the more specific uniqueness of this multivitamin. So we do have B complex in there. They're at what I would consider a fairly low level, and they're all in the activated form and whenever possible in what's called their methylated form. So okay. That's all very specifically designed to support methylation aberrations, which we know are rather endemic in people who have had cancer. And at the early stages of cancer, which is when we're assuming now that we're dealing with a survivor who has no evidence of disease, the first methylation defect in somebody who has cancer is a lack of methylation.
Right.
So we want to make sure that as a preventive aspect that we support methylation pathways. And one of the best ways to do that is to provide methylated forms of B vitamins that also addresses the energy deficit to some extent that most people emerge with from cancer and its treatment. So most people who have had cancer have mitochondrial defects. And that's a result of the treatment, but also of the cancer itself. And one of the key components to adequate energy production is B vitamins. So I would argue that B vitamins in relatively small but effective forms are an important aspect of optimal survivorship. And so we do have that. We also have those for a very specific reason, which is that emerging as a critical component of cancer prevention is maintaining adequate and appropriate blood sugar regulation. And in fact, a state called insulin resistance is now recognized, emerging as a very critical risk factor on its own for the development of cancer and its recurrence.
Many cancers,
and
yeah.
Yeah, so one of the best ways to optimize blood sugar control is through B vitamins, so and trace minerals, which are also in the multivitamins. So for those reasons, I've included them. But what's interesting is there are some things you commonly see in a multivitamin that are not in this multivitamin by design. So.
Okay.
For example, beta-carotene is not right. in here. Oftentimes, you'll see vitamin A, and the source for that is beta-carotene. But back in the 90s, there were two very influential trials, which actually started this whole ridiculous idea that antioxidants are contraindicated.
The backlash.
And that was the backlash. That was an overgeneralization from actually a very critical finding that people who take supplemental beta-carotene, and this has been documented subsequently in other smaller trials, actually increase their risk to some degree of cancer. And that's because beta-carotene as a isolated supplement is different than when you eat foods rich in carotenoids. When people have high serum carotenoids because of their diet, they have a lower risk of
right.
cancer. When they supplement with carotene, the carotene in its process of acting as an antioxidant becomes itself very unstable, and it forms into a compound without its other carotenoids to kind of rescue it, if you will. It becomes a compound that in turn becomes very genotoxic and actually damages DNA.
Mm-hmm.
So no beta carotene in this multivitamin.
But mixed carotenoids, yes?
Well, yeah, mixed carotenoids would be a possibility, but in reality, the vast majority, if not all, mixed carotenoids are 90 to 95%
beta carotene. So you eschew that in your supplement.
Right. Okay. So no beta carotene.
Okay.
We also don't
On the other hand, you do encourage your people to consume the sources of mixed carotenoids, of course, from a dietary standpoint. So you don't want them to get like a concentrated form of the wrong carotenoid, beta carotene, in a supplemental form. But they'll get some, but in a natural form. In a natural form, it's obviously not been shown to be harmful. In fact, you know, fruits and vegetables have shown to be very cancer preventive, and for people who've had cancer, they're certainly not augmenting the cancer.
Yes, 100% agree. That's very well documented, yes. So we also don't have in this multivitamin alpha tocopherol, which is a form of vitamin E, and that might seem odd, but that too has been shown in some trials to be of questionable benefit, to say the least, and potentially might be harmful. You know, there's at least 8 different isomers in the vitamin E family, and alpha tocopherol is the least antioxidant-like molecule.
But it's the one that's most used.
It's the one that's most used, right? Yep, yep. And often even it's a synthetic form of vitamin E, which even has antagonistic effects to natural vitamin E's.
Right.
So we've instead put tocotrienols in there, which are very small members of the vitamin E family because of their molecular structure. They have short little tails, small little heads, so they can kind of get into organelles and membranes very easily. And they actually have an emerging body of evidence that suggests that they not only have antioxidant effects, but they have cancer preventive effects. So that's actually a very critical nutrient in my perspective.
So I bet you have more. I'm just guessing because I don't have the formula prep, but I bet it would be, and we're probably thinking along the same lines, a little more selenium, a little more vitamin K, cancer preventive, vitamin D.
Right.
Those are things that you would want to emphasize.
Yes, and vitamin D I really want to even pull out and use individually to make sure that people modulate their intake according to their serum levels, because that absolutely has to be into a optimal range. But we do have that. And then the only other two things we don't have that you commonly see are copper and boron.
Okay.
And copper, very briefly, is a rate-limiting step for something called angiogenesis, which is basically the growth of blood vessels, which tumors need at some point in order to survive. And it's very difficult to get copper deficient, so there's really no need to supplement it on a day-to-day basis without established deficiency for somebody with a history of cancer, because we don't want to make it easy for them to grow blood vessels to their tumors. And then finally, boron, which people often think of as a bone supportive nutrient, which it is, even
is
low
a
levels.
Bit of a hormonal effect, you think, possibly?
Yeah, low levels of boron raise estradiol and testosterone, and so many people have hormone dependent cancer, so we don't put that in there either.
Great. Boy, I can really see that you have very, very carefully thought this through. And, you know, making a multi is really difficult because it's such a moving target, and I'm just in the process of making a general multi, not a cancer multi. But, you know, with the new materials and the new findings, it's almost like you need a digital multi that you can change at a flip of a dial. That'd be nice if we could just, like, change everything that's in the bottle, because 2 years into a production cycle, you may discover that something that you put in there is not the best ingredient and, you know, you want to upgrade it. So it's very, very challenging. So the other products are sleep, brain, energy, and a flavonoid preventive thing. I don't want to get into the details of that, but people can find out information about the Pro Thrivers supplements where?
So this is a practitioner brand, so they can talk to their practitioner about it. They can learn more about it on Integrative Therapeutic website, Therapeutics. And, I would just really encourage people to talk to their doctor about this line, have their doctor start ordering it, because at this point it's not available directly to the public.
Right. You know, and what you're getting is a high-quality vitamin, but you're also getting the exquisite intellectual property, the IP, of someone who's really thought this through. So I think that that's important. You know, it's, you can try this on your own, but good luck. And, I think that for the most part, people walk into a health food store, probably can't do egregious harm to their bodies by, even if they took things willy-nilly, they probably, they can't. I mean, maybe I get the best results, but they're not going to do a lot of harm. But if you have cancer or had cancer, you got to be careful. So you got to take the right things. Yeah.
And just if I could just add one quick thing on that point, I think that it's true. It's hard to do great harm. So this is just sort of taking away even a little bit of harm potential. And on the flip side, these more symptomatic approach products, the sleep, the energy, the brain formula, I've seen really great results in my practice with these, because the mechanisms that underlie these issues are different for people who have been through cancer treatment than they are for the general population. So again, it makes sense to have a product that's designed towards that population. And I've also included ingredients in all these products as much as possible that have what I call a two-for-one, so that they not only address the issue, but they also lend additional cancer prevention actions.
An example of which might be melatonin in your sleep formula, right, which is so beneficial for many cancers.
Yes,
great.
Exactly.
All right. I just, you know, we're running short on time, and you've been very generous with your time because I don't know how you do it all. You seem pretty relaxed, though, so we'll keep going. I just saw Emperor of All Maladies, which was a documentary on cancers, like a very long, you know, six-hour documentary on PBS that was produced by Ken Burns, which who does wonderful, wonderful documentaries. It was very well done. And I read the book before by Dr. Siddhartha Mukherjee. I love that name, Siddhartha. That's a cool name. And he's a cool guy, and he talks all, you know, gives a lot of historical perspective on cancer, talks about how we're, you know, disappointed that we haven't, you know, that we've sort of oversold the war on cancer. There's a critical perspective on some of the excesses of conventional care. I like all that. But there was zero emphasis on any element of natural treatment of cancer, you know, a little bit on prevention, you know, don't smoke, eat healthy, you know, exercise, a little bit of that, but just a lip service to just some small elements of that. What's your take?
You know, when I read the book, I found that at first to be a growing annoyance, and then I sort of stepped back and I thought, you know, I think that the purpose of, and I'm totally, I have not spoken with the author, but I'm imagining that his purpose in creating this book was really to give a history, not so much of cancer, but of the war on cancer, which has primarily been a conventional treatment-driven agenda. And I think, you know, what evolved in his research was really documenting the history of how we've managed to, or how we've tried to manage and treat this disease. Having said that, I think it's a huge miss on his part, because the reality is, if you look at this truly, and you know, he starts way back and many, many generations ago, and if you really look at what's happened over that time, not only has complementary care always been a part of this war on cancer, so to speak, but it has gained an increasing sort of legitimate place in that attack on this disease. And I think that by not including it on any level, it lends an unfortunate sort of narrowness to the topic. And
right.
So, you know,
it seems that the PBS documentary was underwritten, at least in part, by Cancer Treatment Centers of America, who are involved in a very, you know, high-tech conventional treatment, but also are involved in a complementary approach using diet and spirituality and other supplements.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't know what their motivation is. You know, I think on the one hand, at least he the book and the documentary didn't come out in sort of this typical way, kind of lamb blast the whole anything other than conventional.
Exactly.
So at least saying nothing is sort of the next best.
Exactly. But they didn't have Stephen Barrett come on, you know, with the Quackbusters and talk about, people ripping off the public with audacious claims that vitamins could actually be beneficial for cancer,
right.
You know, that kind of thing, or the, you know, snake oil salesman, that whole perspective.
Right.
So I guess we, you know, thank goodness for small favors. All right. So finally, it's always the most fun is to interview a fellow host, because you know you can't go wrong, because you're already articulate and you handle yourself well on during broadcasts. You yourself have a radio show. And tell us about that.
Yes, we, Carolyn and I, co-host a radio show called 5 to Thrive Live, and it airs live through the internet, actually, on W4CS.com. That's W4CS, which stands for Cancer Support, on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And then all of our prior shows can be found on iTunes, but more commonly people are finding them on iHeart.com.
iHeartRadio, yeah.
Yep, iHeartRadio. If you just join and then look for 5 to Thrive Live, you'll find all the past shows. And we focus on interviewing, for the most part, integrative practitioners or practitioners of mind-body medicine. And the whole show is about empowering our listeners with very clear tools and information to support the use of those tools to bring more wellness into their lives.
Right. It's a great show, so please check it out. If you're a fan of Intelligent Medicine, you'll love Five to Thrive. All right. So let's summarize our today's Intelligent Medicine podcast call to action for things related to your activities. First of all, the book is The Definitive Guide to Cancer, and you've written a subsequent book as well.
Yes, Definitive Guide to Thriving After Cancer.
Okay.
And then we talked about TAPintegrative.org for practitioners, and then ProThrivers,
right?
Which is actually, I didn't even mention this, but I should have, ProThrivers.com is the website that's easiest for people to access.
Anything else? A radio show?
Five to Thrive Live.
Right.
And that can be found on FiveToThrivePlan.com.
Good. And when is the Broadway musical going into previews?
You do not want to hear me sing. Let me just say that.
Oh, okay. Because we got to go do karaoke together or something. All right. So, that pretty much covers it. And thank you very much. And we always appreciate hearing from you. My audience really enjoys your contribution. And keep on thriving, because you're making a terrific contribution to the field of complementary and alternative medicine, particularly in regard to cancer, but also beyond that as well.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks
that.
Again. Dr. Lise Alschuler. It's spelled Alschuler. And yeah, there's another call to action, because you've got a website. That's Dr. Lise, Dr. Lise.
Yes, drlise.net.
Excellent. Thank you so much. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Thanks for joining us.